Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. How are you?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Good evening, wonderful.
Yay. Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well. Excited? So, Ellie Chicago, you keep coming back. You guys keep coming back. Pasadena. Hi, Pasadena. I'm in Pasadena, Louisiana, New Jersey, Dallas.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening to all of you. I am so excited that you are here. I am Reverend Jeanine Macklin, your Sacred Wealth Intuitive Guide of Spirit and Riches, and I teach proven prosperity principles, spiritual principles, and sacred practices for you to gain greater and generate a greater sense of wealth, of prosperity, peace of mind, and passion in your life. We are on week 4 of Manna and Manifesting. How to heal the relationship between you, God, and money. And tonight I want to dive into praying from possibility instead of praying from pain. And I'm glad to see more and more of you are showing up on the call. And it makes sense because prayer, I believe, is one of the fundamental practices that we were taught growing up. I'm going to go ahead and mute you because I've already started the recording. But by a show of hands, star two, who was taught to pray? Okay, I see a few hands. Anybody else? I'm never sure if the system just stops at a certain number, decides that it wants to show me, as opposed to every single person or what it decides to do. So more than half of you, at least, have said that you were taught to pray. And let's get a closer reading and sense of how many of you, though, however, find that prayer is that tool that you use on a consistent basis. That you're praying either on a regular basis or it's your go-to. It's your go-to practice. So I want to stop there because I believe that that's often where it is for everyone, is that prayer is that go-to practice. It's where you, I don't know, we'll have to have a discussion about it if you, you know, work with me a little bit more closely. Is that the place that you release? It's the place that you find solace. I know it's the place where you ask for solutions and for guidance. But oftentimes when I'm listening to the prayers, or let me just talk about my own prayers and how it's evolved over the time, it was so often a prayer from pain. It really wasn't a prayer of possibility. I don't think I knew much about praying from possibility. Because of the relationship that was a child, which is a hierarchical relationship, so there wasn't a collaboration or co-created relationship. There was always this of not enough, and an arbitrary God was upset with me or going to give me a hard time because I either had done something or I guess basically I hadn't done something. So often I was praying for, you know, solutions. I was praying for guidance. I was praying for, you know, my grandmother not to make her transition. I was praying for my father to get better. I was praying for, I don't know if I was younger, if I prayed not to get those wounds that you used to get back in the day. But it certainly was the go-to. And even as I work with and listen to my son, his evolution and his religious and spiritual walk. He walks them parallel. We were just doing prayers the other night, and I told him my grandmother had said to my cousin when she had come to stay with them that, you know, when it came time for bed, she said, okay, you need to say your prayers. And my cousin at that young age didn't know what she meant. She's like, I don't say my prayers. My mom didn't teach us to say our prayers. So my grandmother, of course, taught the two major prayers, which was, you would probably know if I had the phone unmuted, the 23rd Psalms, right, and also the Lord's Prayer. And so she was saying to this day now, even at easily 50 plus, that she still knows the Lord's Prayer. And it was because my grandmother, who we call it Precious, had told her she had to learn it, and she still recites it at this point. And so I said the same thing to him, even though he has created his own prayers. He has his own prayer that he says at the dinner table. He has his own prayers that he writes on Sundays. Anytime that we're not going to a service on Sundays, it's not really a prayer, it's Thanksgiving, but to me that's his prayer, is to say what you're thankful for. And to do that any Sunday that we're not sitting in a service somewhere, and that would be his prayer. And mine has evolved over the time. I think when I was younger, I prayed and thought I was going to get my prayers answered. If they weren't answered, I figured God was mad at me. I always remember praying, I used to pray on a shift or a change that was going to happen. Please, please, please let this happen. Please, please, please do this. And I promise I will be better, do better, act better, whatever. Only to, of course, not be able to uphold that agreement and to find myself in another situation with another choice that I will have made, and there again be praying, God, please, 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 please. And it took some years for me to really grow out of that and move into a different experience with prayer. And a deeper devotion around prayer. And when I looked at the prayers that my son was diving into, we were reading the 23rd Psalm last night because he wants to memorize it. So I said, well, let's see what you know. So he started with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he went to, he has me in the green pastures, and then he restores my soul. So I said, okay, well, let's just go over it together and walk through it. I think it's a beautiful prayer. I think the Psalms are beautiful, but it's probably the most beautiful prayer that there is. And I don't really pray that much, really. My relationship is really so anchored. It's just a way of living and a way of being. But of the prayers that I would pray, this would be the one. And for me, there's no need to say anything more than the first sentence. The power in that shifts me from any situation or experience that I'm in. And that's simply, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so as I talked with him last night, and he was going through it, I had him pause for a moment, and I said, think about what a shepherd does with a sheep. And he had to pause for a moment because, of course, he's a city kid, so he had to think for a minute, what does a shepherd do with the sheep? How does a shepherd support them, guide them, protect them? You know, what was that? What was so significant about this person who would shepherd, who would steer, who would guide, who would walk with? And those were the things that I was talking to him about, and when he really looked at what a sheep would look like and what the sheep dogs do in tending to, in protecting, in guiding, and watching over the sheep. And so I told him, so for me, that was enough to know that the Lord was the shepherd, I shall not want. And the reason why it was so significant, I told him, is because sheep can be easily influenced. They can be easily led. And so to have a shepherd, to make sure you're not led in ways that well, I'll say lays that are not necessarily for your highest good, because we have free will, we get to decide, and we just do what we want to do sometimes. But to be able to stand in the midst of a storm and situations and know, have to stand at the center of that storm and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I said to him, I said, that means you don't have to want for food, you don't have to want for peace of mind, you don't have to want for clarity, you don't have to want for confidence, you don't have to want for understanding, you don't have to want for wisdom, you don't have to want for joy, for love, for friendships, for any of that. I shall not want for anything. And so then he went on to read the rest of it. You know, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Thank you, whoever's saying that over there. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I love that. I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no fear, no evil, for thou art with me. Not alone, not abandoned, not cast aside. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my hair with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful scripture, beautiful, beautiful prayer. And nowhere in there, I realized there was there a prayer for pain. There was nowhere in there a prayer for help me with my bills, to help me get things better, or help my life be different, or if this gentle guiding, this gentle nudging, this gentle knowingness that there's a support, that there's a presence, that there's a power walking alongside, guiding us. And so that was what I gave him for him to begin to look at in how he wanted to pretty much kind of interpret that. And then, of course, the other one, which was the one my cousin had mentioned, was the Lord's Prayer. And that, of course, became the Our Father prayer. And when you look at them, they're all so simple. You know, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not in temptation. I have never liked that part of the scripture, so I just haven't read with God ever lead us into any kind of temptation. We may take ourselves off the course and do whatever, but if so, then deliver us from evil, for thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And simple, powerful prayers. But so often I can remember hearing prayers and listening to prayers where we were really praying from, I was praying from pain, a broken heart. Why did he leave me? Why did help get me out of the mess that I had gotten myself into? And always wanting to be rescued, you know, rescue me. I hear, is it Martha Regan Vandela? You guys may not know that. Rescue me. And so that wasn't a relationship that I wanted to continue to have. And sometimes when I listen to prayers, I'm listening for the possibility. I'm listening for the connection to how amazing life, universe, God, and everything is, and how powerful it is, and how we're a part of it. I'm listening for that ancient wisdom, to tap into that ancient wisdom, that all-knowing, that all-encompassing, that omnipresent energy and power. And so what I found in looking at manifesting, particularly manna and manifesting, bringing things into evidence, recognizing that like attracts like, this becomes so much fun, as well as so freeing, as well as empowering, for us to move our prayers to be a prayer of possibility. I think I did one prosperity prayer in December. I have another one that will be coming up on April 30th, right after we end this series. And when you're on those calls with me, and I do invite you to register for the next one, I'm always looking at what's possible. I'm always knowing that we speak into existence what it is we're going to call forth in our lives. Then I'm wanting my prayer, the prayer, our prayer, to be that of what's possible to unfold in our lives. And to really be able to tap into that energy for ourselves in this wonderful dynamic, what I think of as an exchange. There's an exchange. Like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, we're not making our heart beat. We're not breathing our breath. Our breath is being breathed for us. And so there's this incredible exchange that's happening. And so I'm always looking at it from possibility. How do you step into new possibilities no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through? How do you become the condition within your own mind, your belief, your being for what you want to see showing up in your life? Because usually when we're praying, at least the way what I was praying back then, I wasn't looking at I had to be that condition for what I wanted to see in my life. Whether it was a lover, whether it was a partnership, a marriage, whether it was a job or an opportunity, I wasn't preparing my mind for what it was that I was asking for. It was just like a magic wand. I'm asking for this and trusting, knowing that you're going to get it because you're all powerful God. And if I don't get it, then I guess I wasn't okay and good enough or worthy for it. And if I get it, then great. It was wonderful. So that shifted for me over the years. And as I began to go through my own spiritual training, do all my own reading, reading all the books about the five major religions, and really becoming aware of the common elements between them. Now, the rituals may be different, certainly the practices and the protocols, but there's some common elements between the five major religions. And my parents hadn't taught me that. They grew up Baptist. I grew up Baptist. And I've allowed my son to have a flexibility to know everything that there is, to know this is what the Christians think, this is what Islam thinks, and the pieces that I pull out of all of them that I think are really powerful for us on our spiritual journey, no matter what. Forgiveness is in all of them. Love is in all of us. Service is in all of them. Kindness and compassion is in all of them. And then prayer is in all of them, but not the same from the same place. So praying from possibility is really praying from just what it says, what's possible. So if you took a moment right now, and maybe if you don't have it, write it on your phone or something, and you wanted to take a minute to just think of your life right now. What do you think is possible in your life right now? What do you think is possible? I'm going to give you a few minutes, and I'm gonna out you on this one. So I'll be going to 4696 in Ohio in just a few minutes. What do you think is possible in your life right now? Tressa?
I'm sorry, my phone was, I had it muted.
That's fine, I understand, I did too. So what do you would think is possible in your life right now?
For me to become, I like to be more financially independent. I have reached my my career, you know, where I want to be at in my career. I haven't gotten to that place yet because I want to seek higher education, and I've just been kind of tending to my children, putting them through college, my family. And, I mean, I know it's possible. There are things laying right there at my for me to just reach out and grab and to go ahead and pursue it, but I'm just kind of holding myself back for some reason.
Okay, no but. So what's possible is that you could have financial freedom.
Yes.
That would be what's possible. So then the next step around that would be, what would that look like for you? And then the next step around that would be, what would change and be different in your life if you had it? And I'm talking to, Tressa, I have, but I'm talking to all of you on the line for you to begin to look at how, thank you, Tressa, I appreciate it. I'm going to meet you again. I want you to really think about how, when you begin to speak and pray from possibility, what that can begin to activate within you and activate for your life and for your experience and for the those moments that you find yourself in when you're just throwing up your hand, you're frustrated, you just don't know what to do, where you can begin to move yourself into a different kind of energy and begin to manifest something different from yourself. You're not praying from this not enough. You're not praying from this I'm a victim. You're not praying from I can't do it by myself. I've been forgotten. Nobody remembers me, or God's forgotten me, or God's keeping points and scores on me and tabs on me. You're praying from what's possible. So I want each of you to go over those same questions that I was asking, Tressa. What do you believe is possible? It doesn't have to be a list of things, because you may not believe all those things. Just one thing that you can believe for yourself and have it and hold it as this is possible. It may even be, I don't even know how, but I know it's possible. I mean, I'm doing a retreat in May. I'm doing a retreat in October. I've got space for a select number of women to be a part of that. I have my own deal about how, but my awareness and consciousness, if I were to pray, my prayer would be around the possibility of being that space that would attract the amazing dynamic women who want to come and spend the weekend with me. The thing about praying from possibility, though, is it also calls for us to be accountable. So I think when I was growing up, at least, I would say my prayer and be done. Going about my business and say, okay, well, God's going to do whatever God's going to do. Praying from possibility calls us to step into accountability. Then if I'm going to ask for these women to come and spend time with me, if you're going to ask for financial freedom, if you're going to ask for greater wealth, if you're going to ask for forgiveness, if you're going to ask for these things and that be what you're praying to show up in your life, then what conditions must be within you? How must your thinking be? How must your believing be? How much must your feelings be? How must your language be, your speaking be, for that to show up? So now think of it this way. When you put a seed in the soil, we want to put that seed in the richest soil we can. You know, there's the scriptures that say if it falls on the dry, the hard soil, it's not going to take root. It must be fertile soil. So when we're looking at praying from possibility, it also calls for us to be willing to look inside of us to see what is it that I am willing to release, to let go of, to choose to believe something different, bigger, grander, in order for that to show up in my life. So what I began to pray as I went through my spiritual training, my ministerial training, was what became a spiritual mind treatment. It was an affirming prayer. It was, and I love the name of it because it was a spiritual mind treatment. The whole thing about praying is to shift our mind, not to shift God, not to shift the universe. It's all perfect and wonderful. It's to shift our thinking. I mean, think about that for a moment. It's to shift our thinking, because usually we've gotten stuck. Usually we've gotten to a sense of there's not enough, something's not working, things aren't going to work out, I don't know what to do. We've gotten stuck. So it's treating our mind, because the universe knows its job. It lets us know Earth is going to spin around, the sun, everything's going to do what it's supposed to do. Every day the sun's going to shine, whether it's cloudy or not, we may not be able to see it. It's going to do what it does on a regular basis. It continues to be that creative energy. We're the ones who get off track. We get pressed. We allow self-doubt to be the condition that we're going to have for a day. We allow judgment to be the condition we're going to have. We allow lack to be the condition. And it's all in our thinking. When the spiritual mind treatment, the way of treating our mind, the way of shifting our thoughts was introduced to me, I thought, oh, wow, that is so cool, because everything is lined up for us. And when we have our mind lined up, now we're that fertile soil for something amazing to blossom. Now we're that fertile soil for us to go through that process. But because from early on we really weren't taught to train our mind to serve us, to work for us, so oftentimes it spends a lot of time bullying us. It spends a lot of time running us it acts like it's the manager of us. It doesn't have anything to do with all that. So it becomes what really has to be harnessed more than anything else.
So when you can actually begin to look for the possibilities, you know, next time you decide to pray, write down the possibilities. What's possible? That what are the new possibilities that you could accept in your life, in your experience? And if you find yourself writing down the whole lot, then slow down. Because you have to be able to hold that thought. You've got to be able to not only speak it, you have to believe it. You have to move through your day believing it, even in the midst of things that pop up during the day. And for some, it's just so easy to get off track because something happens. And you think it take it personal and think it's you. Yeah, I didn't do it, you. It's not yours. It's only yours if you claim it. The other thing about the mind treatment, put the responsibility and accountability on me, because I'm not in my prayers now or when I would pray versus when I prayed back then. I thought I was trying to convince God about something, to do something for me, to help me out, to make something happen, certainly to get my mother to leave me alone or my dad to get well and not leave me back at the house with her. Instead, when I'm looking at possibilities, in order for us to look at possibilities, for you to look at possibilities, you have to put your awareness on the presence of God. Not on the pain, not on what's not working, what didn't come, what hasn't showed up, what they should have done, what could have done, but on the presence of God. If anything, you're not convincing God of anything. It's like God's trying to convince you to truly believe and step out in life that you are made in the image and likeness. So when we're moving and praying from possibility, one of the biggest pieces that we get to do is really acknowledge that there's just this one power and one presence in the universe. A whole lot of different names, a whole lot of different conversations. There's only one. The one power, one presence, one energy, omnipresent, omniscient, one. Name really is important. I used to always say that to my congregation. You call God what you need to call God. God, Yahweh, although that's Jesus' name. No, Yeshua is Jesus' name. Higher power, divine intelligence, Poppy, whatever makes it personal and real for you. Your source. But that becomes the first place that you start when you're moving to pray from possibility. There's one. One power, one presence, called by many names. There's five major religions, and then there's other religions too. So there's a lot, everybody's got their own name. That's us. We created all that. And then the next step to it is to recognize the awesomeness of that one power. Because, see, this is where the prayer shifts from any convincing, any pleading, any begging, any negotiating, is to just be in awe of this amazing divine intelligence that has created everything. Has created everything there is. And that, granted, we are the vehicles for it to flow through. We get great sometimes and really think that we're doing something, but I haven't talked with anybody lately that's created the sun or knows how many stars are up in the sky. So it's in that honor. It's in that awareness. It's in that that awesomeness. That there's this energy and power that is a substance from which life is made out of. And that we're made out of. We're part of that. We're a part of that. You've heard people say that we're physical beings having a spiritual experience, or spiritual beings having a physical experience. Made in the image, divine beings who are made in the image and likeness of God, God's energy, and we're having a human experience. Because at some point we had to begin to acknowledge that there was this other aspect to life. There was this invisible aspect to life. I contend most of life is invisible. You can't touch love. You can't touch joy. You can't touch yesterday. And you certainly can't touch the past that you hold on to and treasure and remember blow by blow by blow. It doesn't even exist except for you keep it alive. All that's invisible. Energy is invisible. We just know we feel something maybe from someone across the room or someone walks past us or someone says something at the dinner table or a coworker says something or a client says something and we just feel a certain thing. It's energy. It's invisible. So much of life is invisible. The process of a tree growing from a seed to a tree, the process of an adult unfolding from sperm and egg to coming to a huge, full, standing, 6 foot tall man or woman. That they say the tree roots go at least a block or two long. It's so much that's invisible to life. So this began to tap us into and bring into our awareness that there really is more to life than meets the eye. And it's out of that more to life than meets the eye that everything comes into being and manifestation. So now all of this kind of a conversation, when you're moving into a prayer or a conversation, to be able to say, it's just so amazing to be in this place with this one power and this one presence that I call God, that I call the higher power, and to simply know that it's what's radiating everything that there is in the universe, that it is that unseen energy and that unseen presence that's moving and creating everything that there is, and it creates me. It creates everything that I see. It keeps the stars up in the sky. I don't worry about stars when I go to sleep. It keeps the planets in orbit. I'm not concerned about Earth colliding with Mars or Saturn or Jupiter. Are you? It activates the seeds in the soil to grow. You know, it activates spring to show up without, no matter what our clocks say, you know, this daylight saving time and all that. I think it's funny. We haven't switched our clocks and flowers are blooming. All of a sudden, it's not as dark as it gets dark later than it used to. I thought, look at the universe doing this thing. And then we want to change our clocks. I'm like, really? Who do we think we're playing? Who do we think we're fooling? And to be able to acknowledge that, that there's beauty all around us, that surrounds us, that is here just for us. Just that kind of a conversation and a speaking into shifts wherever you are in your experience and moves you into possibility. Knowing that all needs are met. That there is a shepherd that guides you and supports you and is there with you. And then to be able to say, you know, what it is that you are willing to be, to stand for, and what it is that you're willing to create the condition in yourself for. And to be able to do that from the consciousness, I'll say, and the awareness that it's already been answered. It's already been given. Like I said, everything's already lined up. It's just been waiting for you and me to show up with the right thinking, the right open heart, and the right consciousness within us to receive. We can pray for forgiveness and pray for forgiveness, but if inside our heart we're like, I always hear people say, oh, I'm forgive, but I'm not going to forget. I'm like, really? Who's got time to try and remember all that stuff? Oh, sure, I'll forget, but I'll never forget. Wow. You really want to take part of the energy of your being to hold on to something. For what reason? And people used to always say, well, I'm afraid it'll happen again. It won't, because you're a different person, and you won't do that again. You're not the same person that you were whenever that experience happened. So you get to free yourself up and forgive and let it all go. So when you're moving into this praying for possibilities, it's the possibility of having joy. It's the possibility of experiencing a deeper awareness of that power and presence called God. It's the possibility of having a heart that's open with compassion. There's the possibility of being able to truly be in forgiveness, to let go and to release yourself from whatever that experience was. Everybody truly is doing the best that they know how at that moment, even though in our mind we really think they should be doing something different. Even in our mind. Our mind has convinced us that it should be different. Or they knew. Or they shouldn't have done it. Whatever the conversation is. You have to watch your mind sometimes. So just think about whatever it is that you're wanting to see unfold in your life. Think about what it would mean for you to be conditioned for that to unfold, like your soil for it. What would you have to do for that to unfold in your life? And then what would it mean for you to be able to move through life already knowing you have it? Like Tressa was saying, financial freedom. What would it mean to move through life knowing that you already have financial freedom, you're just waiting for it to show up? That it's already been given. It's already here. It's just waiting for you to line up, like all the dots to line up in a row. You're just out of the line a little bit. And gradually, with daily practices and praying and possibilities, then you move yourself more and more into that condition, that fertile soil, then everything lines up. And when that happens, that's when we hear ourselves saying, oh, everything just fell into place. Everything just fell into place. So let me ask you, anyone ever heard themselves say that? Start to raise your hand. Everything just seems to fall into place. Or some people say, you know, I don't know, it's just a coincidence. This happened or that happened. And I've said to you before, and people are surprised. It seems to happen without your effort, without you having to do anything. Those are the moments, for any of you that can remember it, seems like a few of you can, that you were in complete alignment with what you wanted to manifest in your life. And being alignment means your words, it means your heart, it means your mind is all based on the same page. That just keeps it simple. And then the next part of praying from possibility is to be able to dive within yourself. And it's really anchored in thanksgiving, in gratitude. And our being thankful, our moving into a place of gratitude, really doesn't have anything to do with God's life in the universe. That's all going to happen no matter what. It's about all this is really, again, for our consciousness and our mind so that we're able to receive more of what we've asked for, or more of the goodness and the joy and the love and the peace of mind and the understanding, the freedom, the financial freedom, so we can receive it. Because the whole thing about the law of attraction, about manifesting, is what we focus on is what manifests in our experience. So when we focus on what's good and that we already have, all that we already have, then we get to attract more of that. And one of the things that I often when I'm working with my clients, have them do, I do it myself too, on days to just shift my energy. And that is to move through their house and look at everything that you have. Right now, wherever you are, look around at all that you have. And I have them walk through the house, and I do it too. And be in such excitement and appreciation for everything you have. So look around you. Check it out. It's going on 7 o'clock here, but for some of you, it's going on 10 o'clock at night. So look at you. We'll look at, you know, your surroundings. Or you can look at you, too. You're amazing, too. You got chairs. You got tables. You got beds. You got desks. You got computers. You got televisions. You got food. You have maybe plants or flowers, you have pictures, you have pillows, you have blankets, you have covers, you have hot water, you have showers, you have shelter. All of that. To be able to move into a place of recognizing what you already have. Because when we do that, that opens it up for more to come. And so that was also different for me, praying for possibility, than it was praying for pain. It was also different because it would keep me in a consistent and continuous dialogue with God. I just wasn't just going to God because I needed something. I needed my bills paid. I needed money. I needed to get out of trouble. I didn't want my mom, my dad to die. I didn't want this. They kept it in a continuous exchange, in a continuous communication. And then the next piece of it was really to move into trust. Do you really trust that the universe has your back? Do you really trust that even when things don't look like you want them to, that it's still for your good? I often tell people when they're praying, they're asking and asking. I'm like, you know, God is not deaf. You do not have to keep asking over and over and over again. It was heard the first time you released it in the universe. You just didn't realize that the vibration with which that you reached it, you released it, connects with that same level of vibration. There's no need for our input on how anything that we're looking for to show up in our life needs to manifest. Because I'm really clear that we're always thinking too small. We're always thinking too small. If it's simple as the request for money, it'll be, well, I just need enough money to pay my bills for this month. Why don't you get your bills paid for the whole year? Why don't you get it paid for 4 years? We're asking for just enough. So we really, the universe really doesn't need our input. It's really like I'm willing to be the condition through for which forgiveness flows through me. So I see, when I see him or her or whoever it is, my heart stays open. I don't get all tight. I don't get constricted. I don't close off the flow of abundance and love that's coming to me. I don't get mad. I want to be the condition through which financial freedom flows through me, that I am moving into making different choices now with what I do have already, setting up a budget, giving my money an assignment, recognizing that the money is connected to the paper, that's connected to the trees, that's connected to the earth, that's connected to the universe, that's an amazing process, and that I'm going to respect it more. That I'm going to be that condition of love. I want love. I want to be that condition of love, first of all, by loving myself. When you truly recognize yourself as made in the image and likeness of, what would there be not to love? I'm going to be that condition of staying in the present moment, because it's all there is. I keep saying, if someone could show me the past, if I could touch the past, I'd give you $1 million. The past is only what exists in your mind. So it all ends up coming back to our mind. Which becomes that critical piece that we get to be responsible for. We get to be responsible for that. So when we're praying from possibilities, we're looking at what could be. We're looking at what we're open to receive. We're looking at being that fertile soil for an amazing seed to be planted within the consciousness of our mind and our being. And then being excited about that, being in appreciation and gratitude for that. Being able to be in that even when it doesn't show up when we think it should show up or how we think it should show up. And then ultimately being able to trust. Being able to trust. Because I don't know too many people. I haven't found anybody yet that's staying up all night long, every day, every night, because they're afraid that if they go to sleep, the stars going to fall on them because they don't trust. You all are going to sleep at night, right? And yet, when it comes to our affairs, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to setting boundaries, when it comes to saying no, when it comes to allowing people to live their own lives and taking total and complete responsibility for our lives, we're like, okay, that's okay. I got this, God. You know, you really don't know what you're doing. I got this. Because we don't trust that in the end it's going to be the way we want it to be. So it's like, that's okay. You, I love it. You take care of the stars, the universe, the earth, the soil, the sea, everything else on the planet that you create. I'll handle my life and my affairs. So when we're praying from possibility, it keeps us out of that mindset, because that's nothing but our mind. The ego, some people call it the ego. I call it our small self. It's a smaller self of us that's forgotten our connection. It actually thinks it's creating something and doing something, when actually everything that's animating our being is from that one power. So when you can gradually, and this is just a snippet of it, but just I want you to just feel the difference between praying from possibility and what you're moving into and what your accountability is and what it calls you to be and to do and the condition you get to step into. It's a lot making yourself that fertile ground for what you want to see showing up. And as you do that, it will show up. Versus when you're pleading, you're praying, and it's from lack or anger. You didn't be, and you didn't be angry with God. I say that. I said that to a woman earlier today. I was doing a coaching call with her. God can handle it. But when you're praying from this lack and this victim and it's not enough, and it's so fervent, you believe it, then ultimately you end up attracting more of those kind of experience for you to continue to feel that way. Now, of all of this, that's just for you to know the difference between the praying for possibilities and praying for pain. Part of why I said I don't pray as much anymore is because I spend so much more of my time in meditation. Every morning, it's moving into the stillness. And it saddens me that people allow their minds to tell them that they cannot do meditation, or it's too hard, or my mind won't stop. It's your mind. You get to tell it what to do. It will take some practice. But what I used to always think is when we do all this talking and all this talking, all this talking to God, life, universe, power, presence, however you define it, when do we listen for the answer? First. Second, when do we follow the guidance? And maybe that's what we'll talk about next week, is following the guidance. Because, when you know, it doesn't get any better than the fact that you get direct guidance. So you question it. So meditation became that tool and that place that I could drop in into stillness. One of the women I was talking with today was saying she was just going crazy because she couldn't get herself still. She couldn't get herself centered. And it really is imperative when things are going on in life or when your family or with children or in your business, be able to drop within, even with your eyes open, but to be able to connect within to that still place within. That's where you get your solace. That's where you get your peace of mind. That's where I get my answers. That's where I get my direction. And then I get that all day long. So meditation becomes my go-to tool. I am clear that I couldn't talk big as God would have for me. So I figure I'll be quiet and listen to what God has for me. Because it's going to be bigger, it's going to be greater, it's going to be more magnificent than anything I would be able to ask for. So that's one of the tools that really serves me. And I teach it in my courses and walk people through it for them to get to the point and the place where they can do it. And your thoughts will stop. They will quiet down. You'll stop chasing them. You'll stop paying attention to them. You can get centered and stay focused. And there's several different exercises that I talk people through and walk them through to be able to do that. But for this coming week, I want you to really look at those times when you're praying and look at what you're saying and look at how it feels when you're praying. And if at any point there's pain, if at any point there's not enough or lack or disappointment or whatever, then be willing to step into what would be the possibility that could happen in this situation. And let me acknowledge God in this situation. Let me acknowledge the awesomeness around me. Let me state one time my request and certainly end it with, or something more or something better, because God, you know more than I do. And then let me be able to step into appreciation and gratitude for all that I already have and what's all on its way to me. And let me be that condition for it to show up. It's like you need to be purple for it to show up and you're a shade of green. So your only focus is to get to being purple. As soon as you get to purple, it shows up. And then the last piece, be able to trust that it's still unfolding perfectly, even when it doesn't look like it. We're good and everything looks the way we want it to look. That's easy. It's being able to still hold on to that possibility when it doesn't look the way you want it to look. And then that all, of course, connects to manifesting because it brings you into alignment. Remember, the law of attraction is about like attract like. And it's being able to hold that energy and the vibration around it. So the prayer for possibility brings you into alignment for what it is you want to see showing up in your life. And that peace around being the condition for what you want, when you get that and you're willing to be that, the floodgates will open for you. So this has been our manifesting call number 4, praying for possibilities. Rather than praying from pain, Reverend Janine Maglin, your sacred wealth guide. And I'm going to open the lines to take some comments, questions. I invite you to join us, as I do every week, in our Money and Wealth Mastery community on Facebook. Just request and come in and join us. Share your takeaways. Share what's working, share what shifts you're willing to make, share how you're actually connecting with your money as opposed to your credit cards. Share what credit cards you've cut up, what interest rates you've negotiated down. Share how you set up your times of stillness. I get up 15, 20 minutes before my family does and the house is so quiet and do my meditation. Share where you're finding that you're getting stuck and something's not working. I mean, I get in there every day, but I can get in there enough days that I'll have some support for you.